we are all walking in a direction, that we are all moving through life, and every direction has a destination, and you know that, that every direction that we take has a predetermined destination. We've talked about that a lot. In other words, that no matter what intentions I have and no matter what good ideas I have, it's not my intentions that determine the destination, it is my direction. If I had great intentions of going to Denver, and I really wanted to go to Denver, but I got on I-70 East, no matter how good my intentions are, I'm not making it to Denver because destination is determined by your direction. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to tell us in our life, that you are, I am, we all are on a path, that you are moving in a direction. There is no such thing in your marriage, in your money, in your spiritual life, in your morality. There's no such thing as neutral, that we are moving in a direction. And so the Apostle Paul is going to invite us, be careful the way that you live, because not every path. Elliot, go back to that one. Go back words one more. Elliot's running my slides this morning, and he's never done it before, but I'm sure that he's going to do a really, really great job. So I want you to know, Elliot, that I believe in you. But here's what the Apostle Paul is going to kind of tell us. Not every path leads to life. Not every path. Just like not every path leads to Denver, well, in our life, not every path leads to life. That we can move in a direction that actually in the moment seems good and feels right and seems like it meets a momentary need, but that doesn't lead to life. That is actually going to hurt, and that's going to injure, and that's going to take us to a place that ultimately we don't want to be. And so the Apostle Paul in verses 1 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 5, he's going to tell us, hey, you should walk in light, you should walk in love, and you should walk in wisdom. Today we're going to talk about walking in love and walking in light and walking out of darkness. Next week we're going to talk about walking in wisdom. But here's the question that I want you to wrestle with, and nobody can answer it for you. You have to answer it for yourself. If you keep walking in the direction that you're walking, where is your life going to end up? If you just examine your life, and if you keep plodding along step after step in the same direction that you're going, where will you end up? Let's make it real practical. If you keep spending money the way that you're currently spending money, where are you going to end up? Because every direction has a predetermined destination. You can't hope for it. You can't have good intentions. Every direction has a predetermined destination. What about your marriage? For those of you that are married, if you keep going in your marriage the way that you're going right now, that has a predetermined destination. Is it where you want to go? When you think about, and this Apostle Paul is going to really dive into our spiritual life and our morality and our ethics. The Apostle Paul is going to say, are you allowing any small compromises into your life? Are you excusing some things that you know are not God's best for you because that has a predetermined destination? Is that really where you want to be? And I know that it feels so good right now, but at the end, is that really where you want to end up? And so that's the question that the Apostle Paul is going to wrestle with us today. And again, it gets a little intense. He really kind of dives in, but he wants to anchor it in verse number 1 with love. And so he reminds us, first of all, before I correct anything, I want you to know that you should walk in love. Walk in love. Verse number 1, if you have a Bible with you, here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, imitate God. In other words, I want you to look at God, and everything that he does, I want you to try to do. If you can imagine, what does God, how does God think? Well, I want you to think that way. How does God speak? Well, I want you to speak that way. When I look at the life of Jesus, how did Jesus deal with people that he disagreed with? How did Jesus deal with people that he saw were moving in the wrong direction? Well, I want you to do that same thing. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. In other words, that we can't segment our spiritual life from the rest of our life. That my life is my life, and I can't be divided. I can't have my spiritual life that I put on the clothes and I look right for a certain part of my life, and then when I go to work or when I go home or when I'm all by myself, have this other life. He says, in everything that you do, I want you to imitate God because, and here he's going to anchor us at this, because you are his dear children. Now, depending on how you grew up, let me just correct something here. Depending on how you grew up, you might have been taught that you need to start, the Christian life starts with do better. The Christian life starts with you're wrong and you need to change. And if you could change enough, then God will love you. Try harder, clean up your mess. I've seen throughout Easter some things in different countries and different places where people are doing penance, where they're hurting themselves or making themselves go through some grueling things so that God will love them. They know that they haven't done the right thing during the year, and so they're beating themselves up and doing all these things in hopes that maybe because I put myself through this, maybe God will love me. The Apostle Paul says, no. I'm going to correct some things. I'm going to tell you to do some things differently, but the reason that I'm doing that is you are loved. It starts with you're loved by God. And because you're loved by God, here are some things to do. Not here are some things you need to do, and if you'll do them really well, then you'll be loved by God. Identity drives behavior. And so when I identify myself as I am a dearly loved son of God, that you are a dearly loved child of God, that identity that I hold, that drives the type of person that I will. If I identify as, well, God's out to get me, and God's mad at me, and oh, I've got to earn my way back to God, that's going to drive my behavior. And my behavior towards God is always going to be cold, and it's always going to be distant, and it's just going through the rhythm, and it's going through the routine, and there's no connection there. But the Apostle Paul says, yep, I'm getting ready to kind of give you some direction, and I'm getting ready to tell you some things you shouldn't be doing that you're doing, but the reason that you're invited to do something different is you are loved. And because you're loved, your identity needs to change. Have you ever seen, I love the videos where you get, the people get like these abused dogs, and these abused dogs, they cower in the corner, and maybe they're biting back, and somebody that's so loving comes and adopts that dog, and you see the progression from that dog, and he starts to change, starts to become, he's willing to be petted, and he starts to find some life. What happened to that dog? That dog didn't change, and because he became such a good dog, some people came around and adopted him. In his worst state, somebody loved that dog, and because that dog was loved, he began to change. That's the Christian life. That Jesus, in our worst state, saw us, loved us, brought us into his family, and because of that, my identity begins to change. And if you try to imitate God without having a heart that loves God and is connected to God, it's always going to end in frustration. If you're trying to imitate God just through in this cold rhythm, I've just got to do some things, but I want to do some things, you'll do it well for a while, and then you'll fall off. You'll be in great shape for a while, but then you'll fall off because you're just, there's no connection. I'm not identified as a son or daughter from God. So the Apostle Paul says, hey, imitate God in everything that you do, but the reason you do that is because you are already loved. Galatians is another letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he said it kind of very similar in this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 6 says, so Christ has truly set us free. So what we think, we get it wrong. We think that freedom comes from doing whatever I want to do. That the best freedom is found in me being the boss of me. And for a little while, that works. But what you have seen, and what you're old enough to have seen from other people, and maybe from experience in your own life, is that sometimes doing what feels good in the moment, what feels like freedom, ends up in bondage. What felt so good in the moment ends up with a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And so then we look at the Christian life and we say, well, the Christian life is just about doing something different. God just wants to control my life. And the Apostle Paul says, no. You're loved. And Christ, when we identify with him as a loved son and daughter of God, and when I imitate him, that's what real freedom looks like. Real freedom looks like getting underneath the authority of God. Real freedom is not what feels good in the moment. It's, I want to be under the authority of God because he loves me, he has a plan for my life, and he wants me to get to a place that's better than I could get to. And so it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Now, make sure that you stay free. In other words, don't go back into this other way of living, and don't get tied up again to slavery to the law. And the Apostle Paul is going to talk about circumcision, because the idea then was, man, I've got to have a surgery in order to be loved by God. Now, you don't think that, but there's some things that maybe you have in your life. He says, I have to do some things to be loved. I've got to really work. The Apostle Paul says, no, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Here's what it says. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision or if you're counting on an external activity to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. That you can't earn your way to him. I'll say it again, he says. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised or in our culture, whatever, if you're trying to find favor with God by being in church today, if you're trying to find favor with God by trying, you know, helping a little old lady across the street, all good things, but if you're trying to find favor with God through that, well, you got to do everything right then. You've got to dot every I, you've got to cross every T, and how stressful that must be. You've got to obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Go to that next slide. He says, for if you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off with Christ. In other words, you're not good enough. You can't behave your way to him. You have fallen away from God's grace, but we who live by the Spirit, we who identify with God, we who have become in a relationship with God because of what Jesus has done on the cross, that's what we celebrated last week, we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us, that his righteousness becomes my righteousness, that the righteousness of Christ is my righteousness because I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. That is my identity. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there's no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. In other words, he's saying, don't work so hard on trying to earn your way. You're loved. You're loved. What is important is faith, trusting in Jesus, expressing itself in love. And so if the Apostle Paul says, hey, you are, if you've crossed that line of faith, you're loved. You are a son and you're a daughter of God. And when you get that new identity, everything else starts to come behind that. Yes, there's some things you need to do different. We're getting ready to talk about it. And yeah, there's some things that you're doing you shouldn't be doing, and we're getting ready to talk about it. But we're anchoring it in you're loved. And because you're loved, you've got a new identity. And that new identity looks different than your past. He goes on, imitate, go to that next slide for me, Elliot. Great job. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. And here's what he says. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So one thing that we do as loved children by God is that we walk in love. That because God has loved me, because God has done something extraordinary on my behalf through Jesus and through his resurrection, I am, as I go through the rest of my life, to walk in that same love. That when I go to work tomorrow, I walk in love. And it impacts my priorities. It impacts my attitudes. Because here's what's true about you. You know some people you don't like. You've seen somebody that you don't like in this room, maybe. You might be sitting next to somebody that some days you don't like that much. And that happens to the best of us. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is your new identity changes you. And so you walk in love. It impacts my priorities. It impacts my actions. It impacts my attitudes. 1 John chapter 3 says it this way. We know what real love is because what we celebrated Easter, Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought give up our lives for brothers and sisters. In other words, that love doesn't wait. Love goes first. Love moves in that other person's direction. Love oftentimes looks like sacrifice. Love looks like giving myself on your behalf. It looks like forgiving somebody that's wronged you. It looks like serving somebody that doesn't feel like they should be served. It looks like giving somebody a second chance and a third chance and a fifth chance. It looks like speaking kindly when everybody else is gossiping. Love takes action. Love is more than a feeling. I'm so grateful that God didn't feel love towards me and then leave me on my own. God felt love towards me and then sent Jesus for me. And so we walk in love. And sometimes, man, it's costly. And sometimes it's difficult. But here's what it said. I don't have a slide for it. But he said, what did Jesus do? He loved us. He offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And so here's what that means. Is that when you love somebody, especially those that are hard to love, You can think of that as, I'm doing this not for you, I'm doing it for God. That this, me loving you, is a sacrifice, it's a pleasing aroma to God. I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm forgiving you for Jesus. I'm giving you a second chance for Jesus. I want to demonstrate that love that he has given me. And so I walk in love because I'm loved, and then he gets into it. He says, all right, here's what else you need to do. You need to step out of darkness. Now, you need to remember that the Apostle Paul is talking to Christians. He's talking to people that have decided, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be identified with him. He's talking to people that have embraced that new life. And now he says, you're loved because of what Jesus did. I want you to love other people well, and I want you to look at your life, and I want you to recognize there might be some darkness inside of you, and I want you to step out of that. I want you to get rid of that. Here's what he says in verse number 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. In other words, he's just finding every little area of our life. Our sexuality and the way that we talk and the way that we deal with things. He points out every little bit because nobody's immune from it. And he said, I want you to step out. I want you to start to live different. He says, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure, he really gets into it. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Don't be fooled by those that try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things that these people do. And so the Apostle Paul says, hey, I want you to start to examine your life. And he ends it with this: for once you were full of darkness. Remember, your identity is different now. You have embraced what Jesus has done. You are, at your worst, you were loved by God. You were embraced by God. You have a new identity. You are a new person. It's not just a better version of you, it's a new version of you. You were once full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, and so live that way. That's what he's saying. And I want you to not just pray a prayer, and not be so just grateful for the cross, but I want you to live differently. He points out, he says, listen, don't let there be any sexual immorality, impurity, greed. Go back to that last slide for me, Elliot. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. He says, listen, those are not for you. Here's what sin does. Here's what sin does. And you would never say this out loud, but here's what sin always says. Sin always says, and whenever I sin, this is what I say. I know better than God. That's what sin does. Sin says, I have a better way of doing things than God does. I am smarter than God. And so I am going to go the way that I want to go because I'm in charge of my life. He says, listen, sexual immorality. He says, that's that word porneia. It's this word that says, listen, that sex is designed for marriage. And I know that's hard for us because we live in 2025. And we say, it's just for marriage. Now, what does that look like for us? That I decide I am going to honor God with my body. I'm going to honor God with the person that I love. And I am going to let his design be the thing that I live with, not my timing. I'm going to let his design be the way that I go, not what I want. That I'm going to say that God's design, when I choose sex outside of God's design for it, here's what I'm saying. God's design's not soon enough. I need pleasure now. I need to have it now. And Paul says, hey, you're different now. You've got a new identity. Your life has been brought into God's holiness. And because of that, there is a new way to live. And part of that is sexuality. Part of that is I am choosing to honor God with my desire for sex until I'm married. And it's really, really, really hard. But it's God's design. It's God's best. And so I'm willing to say, God, as hard as it is and as tempted as I am to move into sex before your timing and with somebody that is not your person for me, I am going to choose to wait. The same thing is true. So we think, well, I'm married, I'm okay. Well, but here, pornea, where does that word come from? Pornography. That's where we get our word pornography. What a horrible, horrible thing that has infiltrated and found its way into our culture. Somebody asked me a couple years ago, they said, Kyle, what concerns you the most about raising young people in this day and age? And I said, there's a lot of things that concern me, but the thing that concerns me the most, raising especially young men in today's environment, is the availability and the easily access of pornography, because it gets its hooks in people. And it damages people, and it becomes an addiction. And so the Apostle Paul says, I know that things feel good in the moment, but not every way leads to life. I know that things feel good now, but not every way leads to life. And not every way leads to where you want to be. And then he says, not just that, but then there's that impurity. And impurity is that internal thing. Impurity is that thing that just kind of trickles. It's the attitudes. It's the pride that we have. It's cynicism. It's thinking higher of myself than I ought. And impurity is so sneaky because it just kind of infiltrates our heart and it starts to blacken our heart, and we can look so good on the outside and we can be have it all together, but our heart is impure. That I the way that I think is impure, and the gossip that I participate is impure, and the way that, just all these impurities in our life. And here's what that sin says, that God's holiness isn't enough. I've got a better way. That I know that God doesn't want me to talk like this, and I know that God doesn't want me to think like this, and I know that God doesn't want me to gossip, and I know that God probably wouldn't be pleased that I'm watching this or listening to this, but I've got a better way, and it's really not hurting anybody. And it's just that impurity, that I can act the part on the outside, but on the inside, man, I've just got some impurity in my life. And then he talks about greed, and greed, man, greed is hard to see in the mirror. I mean, it's easy to see sexual immorality in the mirror. It's hard to see greed in the mirror. And we live in maybe the greediest time in all the world, where I can just have it. I just want more and more and more and more. And it's just this obsession with wealth and materialism and power. I just have to have, and I'm not against things, and neither is Paul, but he is against things having you, that I can start to build my life around getting and not giving, that I start to focus everything. I have to get more, I have to receive more, I have to build, and it's more and more. And here's what greed does. It's so insidious, and it starts slow, but it starts to take over our life. Greed rewires our heart to love things more than we love God. That's the problem with greed, is that I start to love my money more than I love God. That's why Paul said it's idolatry. Idolatry is simply putting, we think of idolatry as, you know, these little gold statues that we light incense to, and that's not idolatry. Idolatry is just anything I put in front of God, anything that I choose to worship more than God. And so here's what the sin of greed says. The sin of greed says, God's not enough for me. God's not enough for me. I need more. Greed says, I don't think God will take care of me. Greed says, I think that I have got to be my own supply. And it's not about amount. It's not about amount. It's about priority. Because there's a lot of poor people that are greedy. There's a lot of rich people that are generous. It's a heart issue. And so the Apostle Paul, remember, he anchors it, you're loved, but because you're loved, you gotta step out of darkness. Because you've got this new identity, there's a different way to live. And then he really ratchets it up. He says this, let me read it again, verse number 5. You can be sure that no immoral, no impure, greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and God, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Don't be fooled by those that try to excuse their sins. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. I'll sleep with my girlfriend. I'll sleep with my boyfriend. Not that big of a deal. Who cares? It's 2025. Don't be fooled by those that try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on him that disobey him. Now, again, here's what the Apostle Paul is not saying. The Apostle Paul is not saying, sin once and you're out. That's not what he's saying. The Apostle Paul is not saying, if you make a wrong move, then I'm mad at you. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. What the Apostle Paul is saying, if your life's direction, and if my life's direction is consistently, day after day, in rebellion against God's way, and if you're content to stay there, that reveals something about our heart. It's not about, oh, I messed up and boy, I got caught in temptation, but now I'm just totally fine with knowing what God's best is, but just not caring. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is saying, it's man, if you fall into temptation and if you repent, man, God's grace is enough. God's grace is for you and God's forgiveness is infinite, that you can't run out of it. But if you just know, I know what God's wants, I just don't care. I'm so grateful for the cross, but I'm not gonna let Jesus be the Lord of my life. He says, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. It's about direction, not perfection. Everyone stumbles, everyone. Listen, Paul said, and I agree with him, man, we're the chief of sinners. There's times in my life where I stumble and I fall, and I'm so grateful for God's grace, and I'm so grateful for God's mercy, and I'm so grateful that God picks me up and he sets me on a firm path and he redeems my life, and because it's a direction. I want to be in the direction of following him. And so he says, listen, a child of God doesn't find themselves in darkness and then just choose to stay there and call it home and call it, this is fine, and get comfortable there. He says, you're loved. God did something extraordinary on your behalf. God did something so miraculous in sending Jesus. And if you choose to follow him, you've got a new identity. But if we continually choose immorality and impurity and greed, and if I consistently choose, I know what God's wants, I just don't care, what that reveals about me is there's a God other than God. I serve somebody other than God. Because sin, listen, sin is never about just breaking a rule. Sin is always bowing to a false God. Impurity, sexual immorality, it says that pleasure is my God. Pleasure is God, and I'm gonna follow that. Greed says money and possessions and things, that's my God. Impurity allows, well, myself is my God, and I'm just gonna let me be the God of my life. And Paul says, man, it's just so plainly, these people can't inherit the kingdom of Christ and God because you're not following God. He's describing a person that knows the truth and just shrugs and says, I just don't care. I just don't care. That the person who knows the way of Christ but rejects the way of Christ and calls it good, it's not good, because every direction has a predetermined destination. So Paul's invitation, remember, it's anchored in love. You are a child of God. You're loved because of what he did. Now come out of darkness and don't drift into darkness. Ellie, go to that last slide. Don't drift into darkness thinking, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. James, the brother of Jesus, says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do. And some of you might have come in this morning, some of you might be watching online, and you didn't know. Well, yeah, I just didn't know that was God. Okay, that's great, that's fine. We know now. But it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then just say, I don't care. I'm just gonna do it anyway. And so this morning, again, if you happen to find yourself this morning feeling a little bit of conviction, that's a good thing. That's God's love towards you. That's God's grace towards you. Now, if you're feeling condemned, that's the devil. Paul said, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But God's Spirit will convict us. And God's Spirit will pull us out of darkness because he loves us. He wants to pull you back in to the light. And the only way out of darkness is not trying harder. The only way out of darkness is turning to Jesus, who is the light of the world. So walk in love, walk in love. Step out of darkness. And then the Apostle Paul says, walk in light. So I'm loved, and I'm gonna love other people the way that I'm loved. And I recognize that I can find myself in darkness in different areas of my life. I'm gonna let God pull me out of that. I'm gonna make some different choices. I'm gonna move in some different directions, and I'm gonna walk in that light. Verse number 8 says it this way. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, and so live as people of the light. Verse number 9, for this light, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, within you produces only that which is good and right and true. In other words, when Jesus is the light of your life, the things that your life produces are going to be good. When Jesus is the light of your life, not everything that happens in your life will be good, but everything that your light and your life produces will be good. He says what they are in verse number, where are we at? For this light within you produces only that which is good and right and true. Matthew said it this way. Jesus said it when he looks at our life and he says, man, your life is gonna produce something. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew. You can identify them by their fruit. That you can look at your life, you can look at my life, and you can tell, well, what kind of fruit is that person producing? And that gives you an idea of who they're following. What that tree is producing, what that life is producing, is evidence of what that person's life is following by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or can you pick figs from thistles? Obviously, the answer is no. But a good person, a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. It's just not possible. And so every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And so the question that we have to ask again is, what is my life producing? When I look at my life and the fruit of my life, what is it produces? Then he said in verse number 10, I've got to go a little faster, carefully determine. When you go through your life, when you wake up every morning, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. That we decide, man, every day when I wake up, my goal isn't to just stop doing some things. My goal isn't just behavior modification. My goal is to wake up every day and let God order the steps of my life. My goal every day is to wake up and say, God, I want to move in your direction. How can I live today in a way that's going to please you? I've got this job and I've got this family, or I've got this boyfriend, I've got this girlfriend, I've got this money, or I don't have very much money. I've got this idea, I've got this ambition, I've got all of these things that I want, but how can I live every part of my life in a way that's going to please you? Not just a church service that I come to occasionally, but how can I live pleasing you? The question is not, man, how far, how close to the line can I get and still be okay? That's not the question. The question is, how can I get close to the heart of God? How can I let my life reflect and imitate the life of Jesus Christ? He says, have nothing. Verse number 11, take no part in the worthless deeds. He says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. In other words, just go ahead and look at your life, examine it, and let God's word be a flashlight. Just tell yourself the truth. That's what he's saying. Let God's word shine a light on your heart, expose, not for guilt, but so that things can be healed. Not so that you can get beat up over the head, but so that you can be whole. Don't have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. If you recognize in yourself, you know what, I'm kind of a gossip, expose that. If you recognize, man, I'm letting pride guide my life and lead my life, expose that. Not because God's out to get you, because God wants to bring some healing there. Expose them. It's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything that's exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that's illuminated becomes a light. That's why it said, hey, wake up. That's what I think Paul's invitation is to us this morning. Wake up. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The Apostle Paul is inviting me, and he's inviting you to a spiritual awakening. That some of us, we are not dead, but we live like we are in our spiritual life. That we are so grateful for the cross. We're so grateful for what Jesus has done. But we have not moved forward in letting him be the Lord of every part of my life. And spiritually speaking, maybe on the outside I look okay. But spiritually speaking, I'm slumbering. Spiritually speaking, I'm just coasting. Spiritually speaking, I'm just disengaged. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, wake up. Quit hitting the snooze alarm. Quit just letting life pass you by. Don't waste your life half Awake to God. Don't waste your life. Don't sleepwalk through the life that Christ died to give you. And many Christians, and maybe some of us, and certainly sometimes in my life, and we're not actively rebellious, right? We're not actively saying, I just don't care what God thinks, I'm just gonna go my own way. Most of us are not that way. Some of us are, but most of us are just, we're just passively asleep. That I just put my spiritual life on cruise control. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, wake up. Wake up. Every direction has a predetermined destination. Your life is going somewhere. And you can't just let your life go on cruise control. And you can't just take your hands off the wheel of your life and hope that you get to the right place. You'll end up wrecking your life. You've seen people do it. You might have caught the shrapnel of people that have took their hands off their wheel of their life and just let it go. And maybe as a child, you caught the shrapnel of people that did that. Maybe you caught the shrapnel of a friend that just lived their life for the moment and there was wounds and there's hurt and there's things that you still carry today. Every direction has a predetermined destination. And if we're just numb, and if we're just distracted, and if we're just busy with all the things, but if we're spiritually dry, that takes you to a place that you don't want to go. And so Paul's invitation, my pleading with you, know that you are loved. You are loved. You got to anchor yourself there. Because if we do the other three without knowing you're loved, it's just gonna be a burden. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so you've gotta know that just like that crazy dog in the pound that nobody wanted, that's cowering in the corner, that owner came and loved and adopted, that's what Jesus did for you. That at your worst, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And so you're loved in spite of whatever darkness might be in your life. You are loved. You stand secure knowing you're loved. Now, because of that, not so that, because of, walk in that love. When you go out into your life later today, later tomorrow, walk in that love. Sacrifice your life for the life of other people. Put other people first. For some of us, today has been an eye-opening moment that we recognize maybe for the first time. Now, I'll be honest, I've been walking in some darkness. Don't let the devil condemn you. But let the Spirit convict you. Don't let the devil beat you up over the head, but let the Spirit pull you into the light, because where there is light, there is life. Walk out of that darkness and just walk in light. Walk in the light that Christ has for you. It will be the best thing that you'll ever do. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, this is heavy. For some of us, this is hard to hear, because we maybe today for the first time know, man, I've got to do some things different. Or for some of us, if we're honest, we knew we should do some things different. We just didn't care because we had our own agenda and our own ideas. And so, Lord, I am praying that your Spirit would convict all of us. I need to be in that line. Convict me of areas of darkness in my life that I've ignored and pushed away. Lord, for all of us, help us to be open to your pulling us into the light. For some of us, that means making some hard choices. For some of us, that means having some hard conversations. For some of us, that means rearranging our priorities. For some of us, that means stepping away from some friendships and stepping away from some things that we kind of let ourselves get involved in. But Lord, would you give us the faith to do and the courage to do what you've called us to do? Lord, for all of us, I'm praying that we would wake up. Awake, O sleeper. We don't want to drift through our spiritual life. We don't want to just take the hands off of the wheel of our life and just hope for the best. We want to wake up to what you're calling us to. And so, Lord, this week, help us to be imitators. Help us to every day wake up and ask, what does the Lord require of me today? And do it from a position that we are loved children of God. Help that to be our anchor in everything. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.